Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with J.C. Ryle's book, Holiness. Last time we started chapter 9, which is called Lot, a Beacon. And the scripture he used was Genesis 19:16. He lingered. And so he did an overall section, point number one, what was Lot? And then point number two, Lot's behavior. And then number three, the reason for Lot's lingering. And that brought us up to overall point number four, where we left off last time. And Lord willing, we're going to start with that for this reading. And I'll go ahead and start now. Overall point four, the fruit of Lot's life. Now let us inquire now what kind of fruit Lot's lingering spirit bore at last. I would not pass over this point for many reasons, and especially in the present day. There are not a few who will feel disposed to say, after all, Lot was saved. He was justified. He got to heaven. I want no more. If I do but get to heaven, I shall be content. Now, if this be the thought of your heart, just stay a moment and listen to me a little longer. I will show you one or two things in Lot's history which deserve attention, and may perhaps induce you to alter your mind. I think it of first importance to dwell upon this subject. I always will contend that eminent holiness and eminent usefulness are most closely connected, that happiness and following the Lord fully go side by side, and that if believers will linger, they must not expect to be useful in their day and generation, or to be very saintly and Christ-like, or to enjoy great comfort and peace in believing. Point A, let us mark then, for one thing, that Lot did no good among the inhabitants of Sodom. Lot probably lived in Sodom many years. No doubt he had many precious opportunities for speaking of the things of God and trying to turn away souls from sin. But Lot seems to have effected just nothing at all. He appears to have had no weight or influence with the people who lived around him. He possessed none of that respect and reverence which even the men of the world will frequently concede to a bright servant of God. Not one righteous person could be found in all Sodom outside the walls of Lot's home. Not one of his neighbors believed his testimony. Not one of his acquaintances honored the Lord whom he worshipped. Not one of his servants served his master's God. Not one of all the people from every quarter cared a jot for his opinion when he tried to restrain their wickedness, Genesis 19, verse 4. This one fellow came in to sojourn, they said, and he will needs be a judge, Genesis 19, verse 9. His life carried no weight, his words were not listened to, his religion drew none to follow him. And truly, I do not wonder. As a general rule, lingering souls do no good to the world and bring no credit to God's cause. Their salt has too little savor to season the corruption around them. They are not epistles of Christ who can be known and read of all, 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 to 3. There is nothing magnetic and attractive and Christ-reflecting about their ways. Let us remember this. Point B, let us mark for another thing, that Lot helped none of his family, relatives, or connections toward heaven. We are not told how large his family was, but this we know, he had a wife and two daughters at least in the day he was called out of Sodom, if he had not more children besides. But whether Lot's family was large or small, one thing, I think, is perfectly clear. There was not one among them all that feared God. When he went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and warned them to flee from the judgments coming on Sodom, we are told he seemed to them as one that mocked, Genesis 19, verse 14. What fearful words those are! it was as good as saying, "Who cares for anything you say?" So long as the world stands, those things will be a painful proof of the contempt with which a lingerer in religion is regarded. And what was Lot's wife? She left the city in his company, but she did not go far. She had not faith to see the need of such a speedy flight. She left her heart in Sodom when she began to flee. She looked back from behind her husband in spite of the plainest command not to do so, Genesis 19, verse 17, and was at once turned into a pillar of salt. And what were Lot's two daughters? They escaped, indeed, but only to do the devil's work. They became their father's tempters to wickedness and led him to commit the foulest sins. In short, Lot seems to have stood alone in his family. He was not made the means of keeping one soul back from the gates of hell. And I do not wonder. Lingering souls are seen through by their own families. They're seen through. And when seen through, they are despised. Their nearest relatives understand inconsistency if they understand nothing else in religion. They draw the sad but not unnatural conclusion, surely if he believed all he professes to believe, he would not go on as he does. Lingering parents seldom have godly children. The eye of the child drinks in far more than the ear. A child will always observe what you do much more than what you say. Let us remember this. Point C, let us mark for a third thing, that Lot left no evidences behind him when he died. We know but little about Lot after his flight from Sodom, and all that we do know is unsatisfactory. His pleading for Zoar because it was a little one, his departure from Zoar afterwards, and his conduct in the cave, all tell the same story. All show the weakness of the grace that was in him and how low the state of soul into which he had fallen. We know not how long he lived after his escape. We know not where he died or when he died, whether he saw Abraham again, what was the manner of his death, and what he said or what he thought. All these are hidden things. We are told of the last days of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, but not one word about Lot. Oh, what a gloomy deathbed the deathbed of Lot must have been. The scripture appears to draw a veil around him on purpose. There is a painful silence about his latter end. He seems to go out like an expiring lamp and to leave an ill savor behind him. And had we not been specially told in the New Testament that Lot was just and righteous, I verily believe we should have doubted whether Lot was a saved soul at all. But I do not wonder at his sad end. Lingering believers will generally reap according as they have sown. Their lingering often meets them when their spirit is departing. They have little peace at the last. They reach heaven, to be sure, but they reach it in poor plight, weary and footsore, in weakness and tears, in darkness and storm. They are saved, but saved so as by fire, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15. I ask every reader of this paper to consider the three things which I have just mentioned. Do not misunderstand my meaning. It is amazing to observe how readily people catch at the least excuse for misunderstanding the things that concern their souls. I do not tell you that believers who do not linger will, as a matter of course, be great instruments of usefulness to the world. Noah preached 120 years and none believed him. The Lord Jesus was not esteemed by his own people, the Jews. Nor yet do I tell you that believers who do not linger will, as a matter of course, be the means of converting their families and relatives. David's children were, many of them, ungodly. The Lord Jesus was not believed on, even by his own brethren. But I do say it is almost impossible not to see some connection between Lot's evil choice and Lot's lingering, and between Lot's lingering and his unprofitableness to his family and the world. I believe the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, meant us to see it. I believe the Spirit meant to make him a beacon to all professing Christians. And I am sure the lessons I have tried to draw from the whole history deserve serious reflection. All right, that's the end of overall section 4, The Fruit of Lot's Wife. And he has the next section called Parting Words. And now let me speak a few parting words to all who read this paper, and especially to all who call themselves believers in Christ. I have no wish to make your hearts sad. I do not want to give you a gloomy view of the Christian course. My only object is to give you friendly warnings. I desire your peace and comfort. I would fain or desire to see you happy as well as safe, and joyful as well as justified. I speak as I have done for your good. You live in days when a lingering, Lot-like religion abounds. The stream of profession is far broader than it once was, but far less deep in many places, the profession of religion. A certain kind of Christianity is almost fashionable now. To belong to some party in the Church of England and show a zeal for its interests, to talk about the leading controversies of the day, to buy popular religious books as fast as they come out and lay them on your table, to attend meetings, to subscribe to associations, to discuss the merits of preachers, to be enthusiastic and excited about every new form of sensational religion which crops up. All these are now comparatively easy and common attainments. They no longer make a person singular. They require little or no sacrifice. They entail no cross. But to walk closely with God, to be really spiritually minded, to behave like strangers and pilgrims, to be distinct from the world in employment of time, in conversation, in amusements, in dress, to bear a faithful witness for Christ in all places, to leave a savor of our Master in every society, to be prayerful, humble, unselfish, good-tempered, quiet, easily pleased, charitable, patient, and meek, and charitable being Christian love, including giving, patient and meek, to be jealously afraid of all manner of sin and tremblingly alive to our danger from the world. These are still rare things. They are not common among those who are called true Christians, and worst of all, the absence of them is not felt and bewailed as it should be. In a day like this, I venture to offer counsel to every believing reader of this paper. Do not turn away from it. Do not be angry with me for plain speaking. I bid you give diligence to make your calling and election sure, 2 Peter 1 verse 10. I bid you not to be slothful, not to be careless, not to be content with a small measure of grace, and not be satisfied with being a little better than the world. I solemnly warn you not to attempt doing what never can be done, I mean to serve Christ and yet keep in with the world. I call upon you and beseech you to be a wholehearted Christian, to follow after eminent holiness, to aim at a high degree of sanctification, to live a consecrated life, to present your body a living sacrifice unto God, to walk in the Spirit, Romans 12 verse 1 and Galatians 5:25. I charge you and exhort you by all your hopes of heaven and desires of glory. If you would be happy, if you would be useful, do not be a lingering soul. Would you know what the times demand? The shaking of nations, the uprooting of ancient things, the overturning of kingdoms, the stir and restlessness of men's minds, What do they say? They all cry aloud, "Christian, do not linger." Would you be found ready for Christ at his second appearing? Your loins girded, your lamp burning, and yourself bold and prepared to meet him? Then do not linger. Would you enjoy much sensible comfort in your religion? Feel the witness of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within you? Know whom you have believed and not be a gloomy, complaining, sour, downcast, and melancholy Christian? Then do not linger. Would you enjoy strong assurance of your own salvation in the day of sickness and on the bed of death? Would you see with the eye of faith heaven opening and Jesus rising to receive you? Then do not linger. Would you leave great broad evidences behind you when you are gone? Would you like us to lay you in the grave with comfortable hope and talk of your state after death without a doubt? Then do not linger. Would you be useful to the world in your day and generation? Would you draw men from sin to Christ, adorn your doctrine, and make your master's cause beautiful and attractive in their eyes? Then do not linger. Would you help your children and relatives toward heaven and make them say, "We will go with you," and not make them infidels and despisers of all religion? Then do not linger. Would you have a great crown in the day of Christ's appearing and not be the least and smallest star in glory and not find yourself the last and lowest in the kingdom of God? Then do not linger. Oh, let not one of us linger. Time does not, death does not, judgment does not, the devil does not, and the world does not. Neither let the children of God linger. Does any reader feel that he is a lingerer? Has your heart felt heavy and your conscience sore while you have been reading these pages? Does something within you whisper, "I am the man"? Then listen to what I am saying. It is not well with your soul. Awake and try to do better. If you are a lingerer, you must go to Christ at once and be cured. You must use the old remedy. You must bathe in the old fountain. You must turn again to Christ and be healed. The way to do a thing is to do it. Do this at once. Think not for a moment your case is past recovery. Think not because you have been long living in a dry, sleepy, and heavy state of soul that there is no hope of revival. Is not the Lord Jesus Christ an appointed physician for all spiritual ailments? Did he not cure every form of disease when he was upon earth? Did he not cast out every kind of devil? Did he not raise poor backsliding Peter and put a new song in his mouth? Oh, doubt not, but earnestly believe that he will yet revive his work within you. Only return from lingering and confess your folly and come at once to Christ. Blessed are the words of the prophet, "Only acknowledge thine iniquity, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings," Jeremiah 3, verses 13 and 22. And let us all remember the souls of others as well as our own. If at any time we see any brother or sister lingering, let us try to awaken them, try to arouse them, and try to stir them up. Let us all exhort one another as we have opportunity. Let us provoke unto love and to good works, Hebrews 3:13 and Hebrews 10:24. Let us not be afraid to say to each other, "Brother or sister, have you forgotten Lot? Awake and remember Lot. Awake and linger no more." Amen. All right, that is the end of the parting words for the chapter 9, called Lot a Beacon. And we'll go ahead and stop there for this reading, and Lord willing, go on to chapter 10 next time. A Woman to be Remembered is the title, and that regards Lot's wife. But until then, go seeking with all your heart, body, mind, soul, and strength the Lord Christ Jesus, to get an interest in him, to be diligent toward him. May we seek him every day for this, and may he grant it. And may we not be a lingerer, And again, may our whole lives be Christianity and serving the Lord Christ, ourselves being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is our spiritual worship. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.